The Old Testament reading appointed for this evening is from the 19th chapter of the book of Leviticus. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Here ends the reading. O Lord, have mercy on us. The Holy Epistle is recorded in the 13th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Here ends the reading. Lord, have mercy upon us. Let us rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, The one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, You go and do likewise. Here ends the reading. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our crucified Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this evening is the gospel lesson we heard just a second ago from the 10th chapter of the gospel according to St. Luke. We will especially consider these words. He, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? So far the text. Dear friends in Christ. Let me tell you the story of Hugo Alfredo Tale Yax, an immigrant who had come to America from Guatemala. We'll call him Hugo. On April 18, 2010, in New York City, a woman was being threatened by a man with a knife. And without hesitation, Hugo rushed to her aid and he fought with the attacker. But in the struggle, Hugo was stabbed and left to die on the street in Queens. And as he lay bleeding, the woman and her attacker ran off in 2 different directions. Surveillance cameras filmed portions of the attack and the disgusting events that followed. The cameras showed one man photographing Hugo with his cell phone as he lay dying in the street. 18 others walked right past him. Every single one neglected to offer help or even to call 911 on their cell phones. The closest anyone came to assisting Hugo was a man who shook him vigorously, but on seeing a pool of blood underneath his body, walked away. Firefighters arrived some 15 minutes later, but by then it was too late. Hugo was dead. How could they? What would motivate such inaction? We never live very far from the parable Jesus tells about this man who was beaten and left for dead on that hazardous road between Jerusalem and Jericho. And in Jesus' story, too, there are passers-by. There are those who could have stopped and rendered aid, but didn't. Kenneth Bailey is a New Testament scholar. He knows the culture of the Middle East, both ancient and modern. And in his book, Through Peasant Eyes, he attempts to explain why the priest and the Levite probably chose not to help this victim of violent crime. You see, by Bailey's reckoning, the man's injuries were such that the two religious leaders simply could not figure out whether or not their rules would allow them to help. He was stripped naked. He was beaten to the point of death, Jesus says. And for the priest and the Levite, that meant they couldn't tell if he was Jewish by his clothing or by asking him. You see, it would have been quite easy in Jesus' day to tell if somebody was Jewish because of the way that they dressed. This man's clothing were gone. He's half dead. That means he was at the very point of death. He probably couldn't speak. For all that the priest knew, the man was already dead, and there were strict rules against touching dead bodies. Touching a dead body would make you unclean. And so, because they couldn't be sure that the man was one of their own and make sure that he was alive, they both passed him by. The priest and the Levite have also apparently just come from Jerusalem, probably going home to Jericho after their 2 weeks of annual service. The priest hasn't even come near the wounded man. Jesus tells us, however, that the Levite actually comes to the place where the man lay, and then he passes by on the other side. He came close. But if the priest chose not to help this man, why would this underling question his wisdom and his ethics and do otherwise? There are boundaries, after all. There are rules. There are rules so strong that they trump emotion and compassion. This whole story is told in response to that young expert in the law and tradition who's out to test Jesus. He's playing to the crowd that is following the Lord. How disturbing it must have been for all those good Jews in the crowd when Jesus identifies the one who helped the wounded man as a Samaritan. Here is someone who was hated by the Jews, and yet he's the one who helps the Jewish man in crisis. Moved by compassion, he does everything that is necessary and more to make sure that this injured man survives. Bailey makes the comment that a Samaritan putting up a Jew in an inn, probably in Jericho, would be something like a Plains Indian walking into Dodge City in 1875 with a scalped and wounded cowboy lying across his horse. Checking into a room atop the saloon and spending the night taking care of the cowboy, that Indian would be fortunate to get out of Dodge alive. This was the courage of the Samaritan, not only in stopping to help the man, but in taking him to an inn and caring for him there. For the young lawyer and for us, the parable is a lesson. It's a lesson in the power of compassion to trump boundaries. And if the question that brings on the story is the question, who is my neighbor? The answer is the very next person you meet who is in need, no matter what. The rules are broken. The fences come down. Prejudice dissolves when compassion appears. Since the earliest days of Christianity, listeners to this story have seen Christ in the Good Samaritan. See, we're wounded. We're dying. We're dying from the self-inflicted wounds of sin. We are broken. We are half dead. We are as good as gone. As it often is with Jesus, he sees our need and he is moved by compassion to act. And Jesus will pay dearly for his kindness. He acts willfully. He acts decisively in meeting our need. He becomes the unclean one by reaching out and touching us in our wretched state. He takes our wounds upon himself. By his stripes we are healed. He came into this world on a rescue mission. And like the Samaritan, he was looked down upon and even hated. And in the end, his enemies will strike him in the face and spit upon him. They will jeer him and mock him. The flesh of his back will be laid bare by a Roman flagellum. His face obscured by blood, streaming down from a scalp lacerated by the crown of thorns. His hands and feet pierced by crude iron spikes. And yet this is the instrument of our salvation. This is the method of our rescue. And by his death, we receive healing and mercy, forgiveness and life. We are rescued and cared for far beyond anything we could have imagined. So extravagant is his mercy, and he is for us a living sacrifice and a risen Savior. The next time we see our neighbor in need, we would be smart to be reminded that our Savior never thought that we were unfit for his compassion. Another story, a true story, is told of a man who was violently robbed on the street of an American city. Immediately after the attack, a man who was happening to pass by saw the victim on the ground, wounded and bleeding, and he stopped and he called for help. And he stood by that injured man until help arrived. And then he disappeared. Sometime later, a search was made and the two reunited in the hospital. And the mugging victim asked his rescuer, "Why did you help me?" And the man said, "When I saw you lying there, all I could think about was Jesus." "That's funny," the crime victim said, "because when you came to help me, I thought you were Jesus." Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.